Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Today, our guest is Keith Colston, who's director of the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs. And Keith is here today to talk to us about American Indians in Maryland and about all the various things that are going on that we should check out. So, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be back.
Well, it's been a while. It's been a while. And I know you're up to a bunch of stuff, which is great, because as a taxpayer, I like to hear that.
Yes, sir.
First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us about the commission?
Sure. The Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, which is under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives, began in 1974 with the Maryland Commission on African American Affairs and History and Culture. And then in 1976, we were set apart to our own as a state commission. Uh-huh. And since then, we've made quite a different moves from one agency to the next, and of course, being elevated to the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives at this time.
Great, great. And how long have you been with the commission? What's your background and responsibility?
Sure. Well, my tribal affiliations, I'm Tuscarora, and I'm an enrolled member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. I moved up here in the early 1990s working with the Baltimore American Indian Center, which is a nonprofit organization that we actually tried to do our best to assist and partner mm-hmm. with as well. Mm-hmm. And I jumped to the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs. I began my service there in January of 1997. So it's been very fruitful. It's a lifelong goal to serve my people, and we refer to it as Indian Affairs, and that's usually a lifelong situation. So I'm living my dream and assisting tribal communities, not just my own, the two that I'm a part of, but all tribal people that in any way possible.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Having interviewed you in the past and been working with you over the various years we've been doing this, I know that it's a ministry for you.
It is, you know, spiritually and socially, you know, and seeing my people progress in a variety of ways, and to know that I play a part in that along with so many other great people that I work with mm-hmm. and around, whether it be just with the commissioners, a nine-member group, or with the individuals on the administrative side, which are those under the Governor's Office Community Initiatives, and the agencies that are spread out throughout the state. That's the great thing about, you know, being in this position, is partnering and working with so many great entities. We think about the state agencies, but we also look at the universities. We look at the private sector and how all of us play a part in the progression of our tribal communities, which, of course, I'm the administrative director for, but also our communities across the board, as I serve as the director of the ethnic commissions under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives.
Great. Great. Yeah. Could you, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, and I'm sure that they could all use a refresher, give us some facts and figures about American Indians in Maryland?
Sure, I'd love to. By the 2010 census, there are about 58,000 individuals who refer to themselves as Native and Other. We've got about 23,000 that refer to themselves as Native only. Those are spread out throughout the state. But we do have a large concentration of tribal people right here in the Baltimore metropolitan area, numbering around 5,600. The majority of those individuals are Lumbee, who made a migration from the North Carolina area mm-hmm. between the 1940s and 1960s into this particular area of the state. We then, of course, have our next greatest population, which is in the southern Maryland area, which happen to be the Piscataway. They are the indigenous people of the state. And by being so, they are split up in two groups that have state recognition since 2012, which would be the Piscataway Indian Nation and the Piscataway Kanoi Tribe. We have the other tribal communities that are on the eastern shore, and we are very fortunate to state another historical situation under Governor Hogan in reference to the Accahannock Tribe, which received state recognition being officially recognized in 2018. So those are the areas in reference to the state, the populations, mm-hmm. And those, of course, who have received state recognition through the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs and the Maryland Indian Status Process.
Great. How can someone find out more information about American Indians in Maryland?
Well, first and foremost, in reference to the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives, that is goci.maryland.gov, which is spelled out. You can always visit us through our website in reference to the activities of mm-hmm. not only the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs, but of course the agency as a whole. in reference to myself. You know, and of course, we always like to share information through the social media sites as well. Right. And that would be Facebook at Maryland GOCI, and then Twitter at GOCIMD.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to sharing that information throughout our interview here. But it's also important that if anybody wants to reach me personally, they can always email me at keith.colston@maryland.gov as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Could you give us a history? You mentioned the Piscataway and the Accahanic tribes.
Yes, sir.
Lumbee. Could you give us a history of American Indian settlement in Maryland?
Sure. In reference to the state of Maryland, I want to also make mention and bring to everyone's mindset in reference to all of the tribal communities that are in mm-hmm. the state. When we think about or in reference to historical accounts, the Accahanic, the Piscataway, the Nosowaywash, the Assateague, the Pocomoke Indian Nation, and the Shawnee of Garrett County, Youghiogheny, to be more specific. Those are the indigenous tribal groups within the state. And then we have the Lumbee, which are, again, visitors or have made Baltimore a home to them as well. When we think about the historical accounts, we know that John Smith, as he made his way through the Chesapeake Bay, on up into, of course, the New Jersey and New York area, that, you know, he came across these tribal individuals. They were very much a part of history then. They are continuously making history now because of what they continuously are working on and achieving. And so there's so much information. We could spend the entire interview on just one aspect of one of those communities. But I'm encouraging listeners to really get to know who they are, where they're at, and also their tribal leadership. You know, we have chiefs here. We have tribal councils. And all of these groups are looking forward to, you know, partnering with so many other entities outside of their own, and not just with their own native peoples, but also with all of mainstream society.
Let's talk about those partnerships and those opportunities for our various organizations and groups of social groups and occupational groups and all kinds of groups to work with and to cooperate with.
Well, thank you for asking that, Bill. And this is really a highlight of the interview for me because, you know, speaking on the partnerships and the people that we'd work with to be where we're at today, you know, first and foremost, just to backtrack a little, working with state government, the Maryland Indian process, and having Governor Hogan entrust the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs to carry out that process and to move forward any petitions to him in reference to him signing off an executive order for state recognition. That is a historical situation. A lot of people might not know about the process, but by achieving this goal, it opens up the doors for a lot of federal funding and funding for tribal communities who reach that level and have that type of recognition. And the next thing, of course, is partnering with other entities. We have what we call the American Indian Heritage Month kickoff, which is something that we do annually through the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs. Mm-hmm. And that, since 2014, has been one of the commemorative months that has been set here in the state. By doing so, we work with a variety of people that allow us to either share and bring that type of event to their area. We've done this in various places. And just this past year, in 2018, I should say, we partnered with the University of Maryland. A great staff that they have over there, very willing to work with us, the American Indian Student Union. And so that day was truly a time to recognize our youth, recognize those tribal individuals, leaders within their communities that they put forth to us, and also to acknowledge again the tribal leadership and the people themselves, the community members. This was just a day of recognition and to acknowledge the historical actions of these tribal communities, the contributions, but also equally is to look at what they're doing and to speak about their achievements today and what they're working on for tomorrow. You know, we not concentrating only on the past, but concentrating also on the other two areas. We're talking about the present and the future.
Right. And as part of that, it's one of the reasons I know why the state, aside from our shared cultural heritage, American Indians in general in Maryland are not really the highest earners, are they?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that have played a part in the complications or the barriers, the issues right. that we are confronted with as a people, as an ethnicity. And what we're always trying to do is not concentrate only on, you know, the barriers, but concentrating on the solutions. And, mm-hmm. you know, working with individuals and entities like Port Discovery. You know, we're talking about partnerships, and on American Indian Heritage Day, which is also a state holiday within Maryland, mm-hmm. we were able to partner with them last year, and this year making it now officially an annual event. Working with Port Discovery Children's Museum right here in Baltimore, and being able to share the knowledge, the history, and who we are from a cultural standpoint, and being able to share that with the young people, being able to plant those seeds of reality and fact, and allowing them to grow up with those types of thoughts about who we are, and by doing so, just another opportunity to speak highly on the partnering that goes on that's going to continue to move our people forward. Why that's important is because then we can touch on so many other areas like health disparities. We can touch on, again, the contributions that brings about a better self-esteem for us and a better look or outlook that people have on Native Americans, American Indians, the indigenous people of Maryland.
So it's a cultural exchange as well as an informational exchange basically a human development exchange.
It is, and we talk about human development. You know, that's one of the great things about the Hogan administration, Governor Hogan, is that being able to work with any and all. You know, when we think you know, we as Marylanders, you know, one of the great things that I've always brought about the attention to people is that, you know, we want to look at Marylanders like customers, and we should be able to provide them with the best service possible to every individual, treating them like customers, letting them know that we're here for you, that we're here to provide you with the best of service and a multitude of services. And this is where, once again, that the commissions play such a major role by carrying out the message. You know, we think about all of the ethnic commissions that exist under the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives. And the major goal is to, again, bring about resources, bring about attention to the resources that do exist, and also get a voice from them to find out if these resources are out there, how can we make them better? You know, how are we servicing you, and how can we create a more efficient process to, again, bring about a better prosperity of life for all Marylanders, not just one community, not just one ethnicity, but all individuals within the state.
Indeed, indeed. And I guess if people have ideas or if they are interested in partnering, who should they contact?
They should definitely contact our office directly. They can contact myself, which is once again keith.colston@maryland.gov, Maryland spelled out. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to reach out through our website and through the other social media sites that I've mentioned thus far in reference to Twitter and Facebook. And to also contact our other fellow directors, our other ethnic commission directors, and they are willing to, again, listen, take in, and work with all of our communities, all the individuals who, again, either have something to share or have a need. And this is where the Governor's Office of Community Initiatives and our partners, we have really made such a difference in 2018. When we think about individuals and entities like Susan Thomas, who's the director of the Anne Arundel County Food Bank, and how they have been so instrumental in having assisting us with tangible results for our tribal communities, bike drives that they do, the toy drives that they do, just the idea of perishable goods, canned foods that so many of our tribal people and communities across the board have such a need for. Yeah. We are so appreciative of all the assistance that, you know, these types of entities provide throughout the state. Yet I can tell you, because of my firsthand relationship professionally with them, that our tribal communities have expressed such a gratitude for what they've done. And again, they are one of our partners that we have developed in 2018, and we look forward to what's going to take place in 2019, which is going to be another great year of partnering, a year of efficiency, a year of great customer service to Marylanders.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that you'll be at the forefront of it, because I know the commission is continually, such as today, reaching out to try to get input as well as communication that you're ready to partner and ready and willing to help.
Without a doubt. And this is why, you know, it's important that we maintain a constant communication with our community members, letting them know that when there are seats available, that please contact us and let us know that you want to get involved. Once again,
how can one do that?
We want you to reach out through our website, goci.maryland.gov, reaching out to myself, keith.colston@maryland.gov, and also through our media sites such as Facebook and Twitter.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Keith Colston, who's director of the Maryland Commission on Indian Affairs for being our guest today. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, sir.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Yes, sir.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time. Good. Wonderful.
Play it back and see how that goes. What was that last part, just in case we get it?